Welcome to the D
and A of Home Interiors. The DNA of Home Interiors is all about empowering you to make confident home interior and furniture decisions. I'm Audrey, founder of Audrey Whelan Interior Design. I've worked as an interior designer for almost 20 years, running my own business for 10 years of this. Recently, I have refocused my business to help people who are undertaking their own refurbishment or redecoration project. I do this through individual consultations in people's homes and also through running interior design workshops around London.
I'm Deirdre, the co-founder and CEO of Cooldea, an online search and comparison website which enables people to easily search, discover and shop furniture products across the entire market on one website. Cooldea is the home for furniture discovery. Check it out to search over 80 retailers simply today. Audrey and I decided to set up the podcast after seeing the overwhelming feeling that many people encounter when undertaking their own project. The sheer amount of choice available often leads to decision paralysis. We're here to help you make confident decisions.
So Audrey, I have an issue. We have an ongoing debate at home around one item of furniture and we have big disagreements over it. And that item is a coffee table. And Mr. Wright, with his unfortunate surname, which he claims that he is always right therefore, claims that we need a coffee table immediately. And I quite like the fact that, you know, we're in an apartment, it's a small enough space. I don't necessarily want a coffee table in the middle of the room, which is going to be a blocker and taking up a lot of space. So do you have a solution for us?
Well, it's so funny that you bring this up because this is a debate that I hear over and over again with clients. And so often I see people who say it's a couple, one person will want a coffee table, like you're saying, the other person won't. When we sort of delve into why this is, it might be that one person is admitting that they want to put their feet on the coffee table.
Oh my God, that's exactly it. He doesn't even want it to put his coffee down. He tells me he's not supposed to put his feet, which is not the purpose of a coffee table.
Yes. So then if you start thinking about these elegant like glass and brass coffee tables out there, but you're concerned about feet being put on it and it being damaged or not safe, obviously, you know, the debate kind of gets more intense then. So yeah, I've often sat in people's houses and had to sort of put a cup of tea or coffee on the floor beside me because there's no table, and then kind of, you know, encouraged this conversation to unfold. And I quite enjoy getting to the bottom of it if I can.
So who wins?
Me. No. So I think, you know, what I find interesting is that, you know, I can totally see the need or the want, you know, for people to put their feet on something when they're sitting down. If you're in a small living room, it might not be that you can justify having a footstool, you know, space-wise, and a coffee table. So one solution that I've often brought in for people, which has worked wonders, is the idea of having an ottoman, so like, or a footstool, so like a large flat footstool. So this idea then is quite multifunctional because you can put your feet on it without worrying about, you know, damaging sort of a glass or a delicate surface. But then you can also put a tray on top, so you've got somewhere to put your drinks. You can, you know, leave a couple of magazines on it or whatever else you might put on a coffee table. Then often these are on wheels, or there's an option to have them on wheels. Yes. So if you do want to move it out of the way, and like you said, what your concern is to kind of block that space. So it's not like a big chunky coffee table that you load up with like loads of books and magazines and things, and that's, you know, really tricky to move. So you've got that flexibility. And then also what it can be great for is if, you know, if you are in a smaller space, but you like to have, you know, more people around to visit, then it does provide an extra sort of one or two seats then. For people, you know, if you want to use it in that way. So it can be quite versatile.
Gosh, I think I'm sold.
Are you? Okay.
and I suppose the one thing about an ottoman, which I'm just thinking of living in a small space, is that there's probably storage in it as well. So I can lift it up and throw in some of the things I need.
You can, so some of the ones on wheels, you know, might be the kind of lighter ones that are easy to move. But then if you're not so concerned with moving it around, you could have a deeper one that you can store things in. So obviously it would be a bit heavier, but then still has the multifunctional aspect of being able to put your feet on it without feeling bad or being told off. But then also, you know, the idea of the tray on top then to serve serve as a surface. So that, I mean, that's one idea that's, you know, kind of solved this problem quite a few times. Then the other ideas, the other approaches really are to think about tables which are maybe smaller in size and therefore more flexible. So, you know, the idea of a side table that you would kind of expect to see beside a sofa, it might be that you can have a few of these, maybe of different heights, so you can...
like a bit of a nest, you know, of tables.
Yeah,
that's quite a nice idea.
Yeah. So even if it's not kind of a formal nest where they stack under each other, it might be that you keep them maybe either side of your sofa, but then you can put them together in front of your sofa, kind of in the middle of the space, or between sort of a, you know, a sofa, and if you've got maybe a chair or another sofa opposite. Then you'll see some coffee tables as well, which come maybe in pairs, maybe they're circular or kind of or more organic in shape, sort of where one can overlap the other. And that can operate in that sort of way if you want a bigger surface, but still the versatility of being able to move them round so that you can always kind of clear that center space of the room and, you know, have the floor.
Empty. I think the really nice idea about that nest or overlapping tables where you can separate them is that if you have multiple people over, you know, it's not always reachable for everybody to get to the coffee table. So being able to separate them and have that place that you can leave your cup of tea or coffee without it being on the floor, that's actually really appealing.
Yeah,
now,
absolutely.
In my head for our apartment, and one of the reasons that I haven't bought a coffee table yet is that I've got a very specific image in my head of what I want. And because we have sort of a big glass area, it's sort of floor to ceiling, wall to wall, glass at one end of the room, and there's very little light that gets back to the kitchen area. It's all one big open space in an apartment. I'm quite conscious of blocking light.
Yeah.
So I wanted a glass coffee table where you can see through and it doesn't obstruct the eye and that light that's flowing through.
Yeah.
What other materials do people look at, or does the purpose of what you're using the coffee table come into whether you're choosing steel or wood versus a glass one?
Yeah, well, actually, well, the first thing I'd say about your kind of criteria there is that although I can understand that you're saying that you don't want to block the light out, actually, I wouldn't just think of that solution in terms of the material and therefore it needing to be glass. I would also think about the structure of that table. So for example, if it's something that's quite sleek in style, and like I said earlier, not a big sort of, you know, clunky table that you store lots of things in, but something that's on very slim, elegant legs, it means that you're going to get sort of light, you know, under and through it as well. And it's not going to visually take up a huge amount of space in the room. Also, if it's light in colour rather than dark, it's going to feel, you know, a bit lighter on the eye in that sense as well, in terms of the light. So, you know, something white or maybe a marble surface, like marble combined with maybe brass or copper or something, you know, could give quite a nice look. So maybe open up the scope a little bit on that and don't be too fixated with the glass. Obviously, Mr. Wright and maybe wanting to put feet on tables, the glass.
Maybe that's why I wanted glass one, because maybe he could never put his feet on that
maybe
bed.
That's the
Although
secret.
I do say we have a chaise on our sofa.
Okay.
But I tend to occupy that space, so I'm probably being a little bit unfair that I take
sounds
up all,
like you're
all
getting
the
all
space,
the good
so
deals.
I probably need to compromise a little bit.
Yeah.
And then when I think of the shape of the coffee table, what's the right rule for that in relation to your space? So I have a rectangular, a long, narrow room. Should my coffee table sort of emulate the shape of the room? So should I be going for a rectangular one? Or should I be looking at square or round or oval?
Yeah.
Is there rules determining...
Yeah. Say, you know, it's not sort of a one rule fits all type thing, but in a space, I usually try to get a few curved items into the room where possible. So if it all feels quite rectangular and you don't want it to feel overly formal, then I'd say bringing in some circular items or, you know, sort of, as I call them, sort of organic shaped items. So whether that's sort of an oval or something a bit more abstract, but sort of something without, you know, being too kind of linear or without harsh corners. So that could be a mirror on your wall, it could be a round rug, but then also it could be a round coffee table. So, you know, say for example, if you have a rectangular rug and you mentioned you've got a sofa with a chaise, so that probably all feels quite sort of rectangular and boxy,
yes.
Then it sounds like a round coffee table or an ellipse or an oval coffee table could actually work quite well in that space. And particularly if it's something that you want to be versatile, like we talked about, and you want to be able to move it around quite easily, then, you know, you'll often find a shape other than round or rectangular often is sort of, it's less material overall, so therefore it's a bit lighter, but it still, you know, gives you the functionality of being able to have a decent size surface in the room.
And do people look at round? I'm thinking from, I have a little niece, and clearly having been back with her last weekend, I'm a little bit more child friendly in terms of that. But I assume round or the soft edges is much more child friendly. Is that a consideration for a lot of people?
I think it is. I mean, obviously there are products you can buy, sort of, you know, rubber ends that you can place on sharp corners of furniture, because
they're probably not very aesthetically pleasing.
No, they're not. I have to say, I've never actually used them.
Without seeing I'm just imagining.
Yeah. But I think what we do have to remember is that, you know, kids aren't at that stage of kind of falling against furniture for a terribly long time. I mean, I know we are probably talking, you know, a couple of years maybe. And obviously, if you have a few kids, that can, you know, that can go on for longer then. But, you know, I think if it's the right piece of furniture and you do want to have it longer term, then I think for me anyway, that would be the overriding decision. And I would live with the compromise of having to maybe cover up the edges periodically. But I think if you find something you love, you know, and it is round and you do have that concern about the kids, well then, you know, you've probably kind of hit the jackpot overall.
I thought you were going to say there for a second, if you have to deal with the consequences of one lost eye.
Oh, no.
But you're going to go with the edges.
I wouldn't advocate that. I mean, also on, you know, what we sort of are assuming are sharp corners, you know, sometimes you'll find on the edge of a square or rectangle, actually, you know, it's not so sharp. It depends on the material and the kind of the design and the finish of it. And also maybe, you know, if it is a versatile piece you can move around, you can also consider maybe putting it into the corner of the room if the kids are kind of jumping around in the room, and not having it in its kind of more formal position near the sofa, unless you're using it perhaps in the evening or when you've just got adults around. So there's other ways of maybe, you know, compromising there.
So it's a great idea, really, if you think about something that's movable, because it can free up the space for dancing or whatever else,
yes,
as well. Or
yeah,
if you're having a dinner party,
yeah,
or a birthday party and you've got people that are going to be moving from the dining area and just more generally standing round,
yeah,
you know, to have something that's not blocking.
Yeah.
And I suppose in relation to a coffee table, there's probably two areas within the home that people might have one. So you could have a more formal living room to the front of the house, which is probably more set, and that coffee table can be a little bit more stylish because maybe that room isn't as used as much, versus the coffee table that's going to be more hard wearing and to the back of the house if you've got, you know, a living area off the side of the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you see, that people are really thinking about the function of the coffee table versus the room?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something that maybe happening less in a lot of family homes that I encounter now, the sort of scenario that you've described of maybe the more formal space, you know, that isn't used as much. And I think, you know, that's for a couple of reasons. I mean, primarily probably because of, you know, homes typically being a bit smaller than what they used to be, and people not having that luxury of sort of having, you know, more than one living area. But also because of even in larger homes where people do have more than one living area, just, you know, wanting everything to be quite sort of user-friendly and lived in the majority of the time. But what I do see is sort of from a style point of view, perhaps, that, you know, even if there's a separate living room and then maybe an open plan sort of kitchen, living, dining area, that people might go for different surfaces more because of the functionality of those spaces. So they may have a sofa and a small coffee table in the same room as the living, as the dining and kitchen area. But, you know, they may eat a lot off that table, so that, you know, they don't want it to be maybe glass that's, you know, quite difficult to keep clean, and the kids might be in there more. But then, you know, they may have a different space where they, you know, would use a different material.
So thinking logically, How durable is this glass if I was to go out and buy a glass coffee table? Have they, like if I'm leaving down a plate, for example, I'm not going to break the cutlery against it. I presume they're massively reinforced.
Yeah,
that it would take
yeah. I mean,
even if you're putting your feet on it, you probably need a quite hard force in order to break it.
Yes. Yeah, I would think so. I mean, yeah, glass should really be toughened in that sort of situation. It's always important to check that, you know, to make sure that you're not putting yourself at danger in any way. If the glass was to break, you don't want it to smash into small pieces. But I think people's concern with glass is that it can get scratched.
Yes.
And also just the fact that it is more difficult to keep clean, just in the sense that, you know, you notice every little thing on it. So if you are putting your feet on it and, you know, it is getting a bit scuffed or dirty, then, you know, it's obviously more work to keep that clean. And then just the fact that it's noisy as well and other objects can break easily on it. So glass or plates or things like that. So that will be people's main hesitation, I think. But obviously you can get around some of those issues by having some, you know, coasters or mats and things that you put on the surface.
Yes. And then my last question for you is around the functionality of the coffee table. So I have this image of, and you probably see it all the times in magazines, coffee tables, and they're so beautifully presented. They've got books and they've got little jars of flowers and maybe some candles and it really makes the room with these little finishing touches.
Yeah.
But actually in reality, if I'm putting down drinks that are going to get spilled or eating off it, they'll get pushed to the side.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you're throwing your magazines. Some have storage, which of course can help. But how do you see that? How are people practically using it? Is that just for magazines in terms of, or your Instagram picture you've make it look all beautiful, but in reality, it never really looks like that.
I think for me, I do sometimes put things on my coffee table that I do really want to read. And also, I suppose now that we're so kind of, you know, generally addicted to phones and so on, it can be so easy to sit on your sofa and get kind of sucked into Instagram or social media in general. So I find it useful sometimes to position things I do actively want to look at, put them on the coffee table. And then next time I sit on the sofa, I don't think, oh, well, I get up and get something off the shelf, you know, it's right there, and that's the thing that I want to pursue. And obviously, if those items happen to look great stacked up, you know, as a pile, then all the better, but that won't always necessarily be the case. But I do know what you mean. You see some amazing styled shots of coffee tables, and it can be, you know, quite fun to play around with that as well.
I keep thinking I need a drawer so I can sort of clear it off if somebody comes in and pretend that it looks all pretty and put the controls in there.
Oh, yes.
Things that are just a little bit unsightly.
Well, magazine racks can be good for that kind of thing, and to have that beside your sofa and then try to keep the surface of the coffee table clear, and also surfaces in general, because it's actually something I often talk to people kind of in living rooms, because say in like a kitchen where, you know, you're assuming that you're going to put these worktops in and everything in a living room, sometimes people can overlook the actual functional need for surfaces, because the reality is you're going to have belongings and objects and you do need to put them places, and you may not always, you know, be storing things away sort of in cupboards or on shelves necessarily. So I think if you've got surfaces and you can put some things on there, and then it can free up your coffee table then not to be acting like a sort of a work surface, if you like.
I've actually seen some really cool coffee tables, which I think based on the work surface, if you were doing some work, they actually have a top shelf which actually extends up.
Yes.
So it could come in if you wanted to have your dinner or, you know, use it for actually writing or reading the paper, but it would come up towards you.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of unusual ones out there.
Yeah, they're actually really great. Yeah, for sort of if whether it's that you're on your laptop or eating. And I've specified those in homes before where, you know, very small places that don't actually have space for a dining table.
So
it might be that they have a kitchen with a breakfast bar and a couple of bar stools, but then at least they've got their sofa with the pull-up section of the coffee table. And the great thing as well is that when that pulls up, generally you've got storage underneath. So if you've things on the surface, when you pull it up, you can pop them inside then.
Well, Audrey, that's fascinating learning about some of the rules about coffee tables. And I think in particular, you seem to have provided quite a good solution. So I've probably run out of arguments against why we shouldn't get a coffee table. So I'm probably on a losing battle there with that one. So thank you for all those insights.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Delighted to hear it's been helpful.
If you enjoyed our podcast, please like and share with your friends and family who are working on their own home interiors project. Be sure to follow us on our Instagram, Facebook and YouTube channels at the DNA of Home Interiors.
If you are looking for inspiration and help in designing your home project, check out Audrey Whelan's Masterclasses and sign up for one today. And Audrey, what's that address again?
It's audreywhelan.com/events.
And it also makes a great gift. And don't forget to check out cooldia.com to easily search, discover and shop furniture products across the entire retail market on one website. We hope you can join us next time.